End of August, and we may actually have some news to talk about. Welcome into Byword of the Peaky Blinders, Daniel alongside Josh. So happy, first off, and Josh, I think we should kind of talk about this off of the top and how fantastic you guys all are, right? Our Peaky heads, our fans. This week marked the 2-year anniversary of season 5, episode 1 debuting. Black, what was it? Black Monday, I think the name of the episode was. And we were, this is when we built our podcast about breaking down these live episodes. And so we were so excited. We recorded live right after the episode aired. We had to get BBC subscriptions and VPNs and everything so we can watch in England from America at the exact time. And it's now been whatever you want to call it, like a year and 10 months of off season. And you guys are still listening every single time we post an episode. Obviously it's not weekly anymore. We have no interest in flooding your Spotify or Apple podcast timelines, but I mean, top 100 in America, top 50 in the UK, still in TV show after shows. And we thank you guys. We're so appreciative. If you're new to the podcast, I'm Daniel Gilman. He's Josh Levy. We've got a ton of interviews with Peaky Blinders actors and actresses from the show. We've got breakdowns of every episode, every season's recap, major motifs, along with other shows that we've covered that are Peaky adjacent. And now here we are, Josh, and we are we're just appreciative to you. A little fan appreciation post here in the beginning.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes me want to throw up thinking that it's been 2 years since we've seen live Peaky Blinders action. Like, that sucks. That really sucks. So we're just hoping that it comes soon and we might have a release date, question mark. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, so this is it. This is the big news. And it comes from an unreliable yet somewhat kind of reliable source, right? Like, kind of like how Tom Holland almost spoiled the Avengers Endgame movie, because he was like the youngster in the media, maybe talking a little bit too much, and then they had to scold him. And so the news has come out here in the last couple of days. You like that comparison? I feel like it was a pretty solid one. The news that came out recently was that the newest addition to the show, maybe leaked intentionally or missed date or something like that, but Conrad Khan, who is going to play someone assumingly in the Peaky Bunch based off of photos released of him kind of with Tommy Shelby dressed in that garb. But in an exclusive interview with RadioTimes.com, he revealed that it might be airing early next year. Quote, "That comes out from what I last heard. These things change so quickly. I think it'll come out next February, the beginning of next year. It takes a full 6 months to do the post-production and the editing. They filmed so much." So, I mean, February, a long way away. If the Netflix came out in February, Josh, I would understand that, right? Because that would mean BBC probably drops around November, which is our prediction. But if the BBC comes out in February, Netflix isn't coming out till like April.
That sucks. No, that's ass. Like, it's pure ass. Like, if they're really done filming and it's just post-production, I understand it takes a while, but it's 6 episodes. Like, it's 6 flipping episodes. Like, let's get the show on the road. Like, it's time. And fall is like prime TV time. Like, we got Succession coming, we got Curb Your Enthusiasm coming. Like, that's like every Sunday night is going to be filled with
Yellowstone
TV.
Maybe, yeah,
right. And so clearly the fall is the time to be, you know, releasing TV. Football is going on, soccer is in full swing. Like, that's it's just a lot going on, and you want to saturate that market. You want your eyes to be on your show. So I just don't know what is the way. I know that Steven Knight and all the other directors, they want everything to be absolutely perfect, which I'm very happy about. They're not rushing it. Like, there's kind of like a both sides to it, but I'm getting impatient. Like, I'm getting really impatient.
Yeah. So the reason why I say not so reliable is almost like, if of all the people to kind of break this news, it doesn't feel like it's someone that, like, Steven Knight runs such a tight ship. I could definitely see there being something that's like, hey, like, if you guys are going to say a date, pick a date way in the future so that if we do surprise people and the news drops that it's coming out in November, it'll make everyone really happy. And that's the only thing that I would think about in that facet. That's why the title of this podcast episode is going to have a little bit of a question mark surrounding it. Maybe a release date, maybe not. What it does mean is we have plenty of time to prepare our predictions, Josh, because we are going to flood the zone with
once we get
content.
Once we get an official date, like a trailer, right?
A trailer and a date, and we are off and running. Until then, we're going to keep talking about other shows that we're watching because there's not much else.
I mean, if Conrad Khan's prediction is right, that sucks. But like, there it very well could also just be not true. You got to imagine that they're going to announce soon. Like you got to imagine.
It's getting to that time where like Succession came out with their trailer, right? And I mean, I know we're talking more American shows, but like, you know, Succession is, if I'm not mistaken, made by a Brit. And so Jesse Armstrong, I'm pretty sure, someone can correct me there. I'm not even going to Google it because I'm like quite confident. But I mean, a lot of these powerhouse shows, even Atlanta, right? Barry, a lot of these HBO and FX shows that everyone has turned into their like darlings of TV. And Peaky, as tough as it is to say, is not there, right? They haven't gotten any of the Emmy nominations that we've wanted. They kind of don't stand alone. So if we want to bring up a devil's advocate, Josh, it might not be the worst thing for Peaky Blinders to be in a time that isn't competing with the best shows in TV. Right. I get it. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
like you also you also don't want your fans to wait like after they've already waited 2 years. And it's like, I mean, Peaky Blinders is like one of the most popular shows on television. It doesn't get the Emmy nods that the other shows get because of the kind of show that it is and the amount of episodes that it has. Like, it's not, there aren't enough hours of television like those other shows. I mean, Succession has only been 2 seasons, but it's 10 episodes that are all an hour long. So it's probably already like 2 seasons in, like pretty much probably has more time of film than Peaky Blinders, or like the same amount or something like that. But
right,
it's not the kind of show that's going to get the Emmy nods, but it is an Emmy caliber kind of television show where it has that following. It has a Game of Thrones-esque following. Like it is probably a top 10 popular show in the last 10 years, for sure.
Great point. And Stephen Knight is beloved, right? There was a release today that the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games, which, you know us listeners, longtime listeners, we have no idea about. Like, I couldn't even tell you, Josh, if you had to list 3 sports that were in the Birmingham Commonwealth Games, what are we going with? I mean, darts, like darts seems like a solid pub game. Like, is this a legitimate
sure.
sport?
Billiards
could be solid. What about, what's that? I'm trying to think of like British sports that are just like for us though. I'm not talking about athletes.
Polo?
For like normal people though. It's
for normal, are you insinuating people who like polo are?
No, they're athletes. I'm talking about for non-athletes. We're thinking of sports for non-athletes. But regardless, Stephen Knight has been named among a team of 6 tasked with the production of the opening ceremony for this Birmingham Commonwealth Games. So he is like royalty in this town that he has turned into a nomenclature of Peaky Blinders-esque stuff, right? The quote is, "We really want people to leave this really wanting to come here, visit here, and invest here and work here. So let's bang the drum for Birmingham in a way that Birmingham hasn't really done in the past." Would love to hear some suggestions for what you guys think could be played in the Birmingham Commonwealth Games. Like, what are some things that we think Polly kind of sparks up? A lot of drinking games. That's all I could think of for
absolutely
the Commonwealth Games. Ton of drinking games. Maybe some beer dye if they have that over in the UK. Definitely Flip Cup.
Some beer pong.
Who would be like a top your like beer Olympics team among Peaky Blinders?
Arthur's getting the number one pick. Like,
number one pick.
Tommy low key just like a tank, just like doesn't get fazed by alcohol. Like,
I could see Tommy making the last cup every time.
Absolutely. That silent sniper, not talking shit, just draining cups, you know, just being that dark horse, but very effective.
Chugging though, Curly. I'm all in. Give me Curly as a chugger.
Then Finn's new, but you
the
know,
lightweight
as he gets up there, you know, who knows?
He's the only one that knows what beer dye is, you know?
Exactly.
As our British listeners are Googling it. But no, I mean, you're right. It's a great perspective to then look and say, okay, how long until you're going to do this, because your casual fans are losing the interest, that they're kind of forgetting that Peaky Blinders is even coming back.
They are.
It's true.
Because a lot of people in the beginning of the pandemic or whatever,
binge watch
Peaky Blinders in like a month because there's only 6 episodes a season. It's 30 episodes. Like anybody can binge watch 30 episodes of television when it's only like 45 minutes to 50 minutes like that. Like that's easy in this day and age. So people, I mean, like are like forgetting possibly about what's going on in the show, and they're going to turn on season 6, episode 1 and just forget, you know, the whole plot line, what's going on with Oswald Mosley. Like, I forget Oswald Mosley's like in the freaking show sometimes because we haven't watched a freaking episode in 2 years. So it, and I don't want to bash the show because I love the show and I love Stephen Knight and I love all everyone who's involved in the show, but I'm getting restless. Like this is how long we had to wait for Game of Thrones towards the end. But that was like a different animal.
Yeah, that was because the actors hated the filming and because they literally filmed for like 11 hours every night and they had to stretch it out.
Well, also because it was, you know, all the actors are from like across the world and it was hard to get all of them. And the last 2 seasons were the only seasons where they had to be in the same exact place at the same time.
Right.
Whereas seasons 1 through 4 or season 1 through 5, they were able to film at different times in the year in different locations. So it was just kind of just like feasibly hard to do, you know? So it's just different here. They're already done filming. I mean, what production is like, what post
7 months?
What 7 months? It's just a lot. So I mean,
well, and like I said, we're still just going off of the guess of a brand new edition, right? I mean, this is where I think maybe we may have to call upon a little insight from like the grandfather of the show, right, and Packy Lee, and see if he wants to tease and you know, give us a little bit more direction and maybe just like a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And I'll reach out to Packy and kind of see if we're being led astray or not. But we're getting into dangerous territory here. Josh is starting to pull out his hair. So let's kind of move into some fun. I'm just teasing. You know, you're getting restless. Let's get to fun stuff here where, you know, Josh is back watching some TV. I've been watching some good TV as well. I had a fun little moment where I'm currently in like South Wyoming for work. And the last time that I was driving through Wyoming into Denver was when we had our emergency podcast, which is still one of the funniest things we've ever done. If you guys want a little bit of fun, go back to like March 2020 and find our emergency coronavirus podcast where I am driving down the highway and we had to record immediately because Peaky Blinders was suspended indefinitely. And we started talking about other shows. And so that kind of leads us into other shows, Josh. You finished with Sopranos, right? I know you were watching that.
No, I haven't finished yet. I'm almost done. I am watching Ted Lasso like everyone else.
Oh, it's so good. It makes...
I'm like 2 episodes behind, so don't say anything.
Okay, it just makes me cry. Every third episode, they find your spot and they flick it and you just cry. It's great.
I just watched the Christmas episode. I thought it was like one of the cheesiest episodes in television history, but
they're all cheesy.
It's fine. It's fine. It is like when you watch that show, you have to expect it.
Well, you got to remember that it's Scrubs. Remember Scrubs?
Yeah.
The same creator. So it's like...
I mean, it's not Scrubs, but it's fine.
But I'm saying in terms of like every episode of Scrubs ended on like this extremely happy note where it's like, except for a few, it's a feel-good show. And that's what Ted Lasso is, it feels like.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great show. I am watching Friday Night Lights. I'm re-watching Friday Night Lights.
Okay, the so tell our non-American audience what Friday Night Lights is.
So Friday Night Lights is a show about a high school football team, and basically the main character there's not really a main character, but there is a main.
But not
character.
Just any high school football team, right?
It's right. In Texas. So it takes place in a small town in Texas. It's called Dillon, and it's a very small, you know, nothing town. And they eat, breathe, and sleep high school football. Like this, like everybody in the town goes to the games. All they do is care about the Dillon Panthers and high school football. So it's a big deal. And the main character is this guy, Eric Taylor, who's played by Kyle Chandler, who is just amazing in the show.
It's coming out party for Chandler, yep.
Coming out party for a lot of people. So you got Kyle Chandler is in it. Jesse Plemons is in it. Michael B. Jordan's in it towards the end of the series. Minka Kelly's in it. Taylor Kitsch. I don't know how you pronounce
Kitsch.
It.
Kitsch. I think it's Kitsch.
It's Kitsch. So the main character, Eric Taylor, is the football coach, and it's kind of just like about everybody's life. You know, it's a lot about football, but it's also a lot about their personal lives and all the drama that goes on with it. it sounds like it's a cheesy chick flick drama, but it's so good. Like, the acting is good. Like, usually these kind of shows, the acting is so bad. Like, I'm watching All American. Like, I've been watching All American, which is on Netflix, which is, like, basically a Friday Night Lights spinoff. Like, not spinoff, but, like, it's like cousin. And it's so much worse than Friday Night Lights.
I hated All American.
It's really bad, but I watch it because it's so bad. It's kind of like how you like Outer Banks.
Perfect example. I was actually going to compare it. It's in that Riverdale, Outer Banks sphere. Right, exactly. Which is like so just guilty bad, pleasure so stuff. Good. Yeah.
But Friday Night Lights, I've already watched it like once through, and now they just put it back on Netflix. And so I am ripping through it with my girlfriend, and she's never watched it. She thought she was going to hate it, and she cannot stop watching
it's,
it. Like,
it's so good.
Four episodes.
Like, it's great.
It's so good. So I'm watching that. And I also just watched the Cocaine Cowboys documentary on Netflix, which was awesome. For all of you guys across the pond who don't know about it, Cocaine Cowboys was like an era in the 1980s where these two guys, Sal Magluta and Willie Falcone, were like the cocaine kingpins of Miami. And they kind of basically, before Miami became what Miami was, they started off selling cocaine and being these kingpins, and they kind of blew up the Miami scene. And it's a crazy story about how, I mean, just like any drug dealer documentary story, kind of like a Pablo Escobar-esque story, it's kind of like their fandom, their stardom, and then their demise. So it's really good, done by Billy Corbin. He does a lot of really great documentaries. He did the You documentaries, if you guys know about them, and it's really good.
Yeah, he did the original cocaine
right, the one on HBO.
Yeah, the documentary. This is a little bit more Netflix style with a series, right? It's not just
six episodes, but it's a documentary. But it's six episodes, and they have really good versions, like very important people telling their versions of the story that were involved, and it kind of goes into the trial aspect and the law aspect of it. And obviously, as me as a lawyer, I really like love watching that kind of stuff. So it just goes into like how they were able to like evade the government for so many years, and it's just really good. It's
really good.
I recommend it.
And if you like that, I would check out Operation Odessa on Netflix, Josh. Just Google it. It's the kind of similar, just about like a Russian guy who moved to Miami and decided, hey, like nobody's really stopping me from like selling army vehicles from Russia. So that's kind of like, it's just these crazy characters, Scarface-esque characters. For those of you that kind of like that Tiger King with a little bit more sophistication in it, that's kind of the way that I would describe Cocaine Cowboys, because they're still absurd characters.
Absurd, yeah.
But now into the realm of fiction, I wanted to talk about a few shows that are getting a lot of traction here before we wrap up. And one of them is very interesting. So White Lotus comes out on HBO. I've already talked about it. We don't have to spend more time on it.
It's very good.
Really good. Mike White just basically was asked to do a show that was COVID friendly. He was like a writer and, you know, director for HBO, different things. He was in School of Rock as like the principal and helped with writing in that movie as well. And he's like, okay, just send a bunch of us to Hawaii and I'll just make something. So he like makes this like creepy, but cool with Sydney Sweeney and, you know, the mom from Friday Night Lights as well, Connie Britton. And so that's a cool one, but it's about like a eerie one spot that everyone's at. Hulu comes out and there's been four episodes of the show and it's bad timing, but it's still pretty good. Nicole Kidman stars in a David E. Kelly original based off of a book, which is the same creator, same lead star as Big Little Lies. And it's called Nine Perfect Strangers. And it's about these nine people who all go to this health and wellness retreat in the middle of nowhere. And it's just got those eerie, weird vibes, just like White Lotus, a little bit different, a little bit the same. But instead, it's almost like the cult leader in Nicole Kidman who plays like this terrible Russian accent. But it's interesting. It's got Michael Shannon. It's got a star-studded cast. So I would tell you guys to recommend that on Hulu to people if you kind of like that genre. But then the other one, Josh, that I'm really loving and everyone I've talked to has loved is on Netflix called Hit and Run. Hit and Run is one of those typical Netflix shows that comes out of nowhere. They buy it from somewhere. This is specifically from Israel. And it's one of those episodic binge. Just binge. Like if you want to binge something badly, like I saved it for this flight to Wyoming, long, you know, layover, flight again, a lot of stuff going on. So I've watched four episodes in the last day and a half. And it is it's really good. And I don't want to talk too much about it, but it, you know, a man loses his loved one and kind of like goes on like a Liam Neeson kind of like spree, but it's got a lot of different antics in it. It's got some Hebrew, some Arabic, a bunch of different things. It's the lead character from Fauda, which is another Netflix beloved show, and a bunch of different actors from different things like that. So if you're down to take in a little bit of foreign language and get in your month's reading, as I like to say, Hit and Run's a solid one. You mentioned Curb. Curb is coming back here in a little bit, as is La Casa de Papel, Money Heist, back again next week on September 3rd. And Morning Show. You ever watch Morning Show, Josh?
No, but I heard it's good.
Good. Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, Reese Witherspoon. That one comes back on September 19th or 17th, September 17th. So you got plenty of time to watch season one. A show that was low-key a banger, like maybe the best thing Apple TV made, in my opinion, was that and For All Mankind. So those are just a couple things here on the horizon.
Dave was really good. We have to break that down.
Ooh, we didn't do that. We should maybe do a standalone. We've said this, like a standalone, yeah. Just Dave focused episode.
It.
Yeah,
I think it's worth it.
That finale really capped it off. Like, we know now how hard it is to do a finale of a season.
Oh, that was such a good finish to a season. I
about Goosebumps.
The episode ended and I was like, that was great. I literally said that. I literally reacted. I go, that was great. I never do that.
I don't want to get into it because I will say spoilers. So we're going to do an episode soon that is going to be spoiler filled. For those of you that want to watch Dave do it, we'll give you some time. Of course, the backlog will always be here, but Josh and I will try to whip that out for you here in the next couple weeks, because the last scene caught me by surprise. Like, I did not expect it at all. Right. Watching with friends, I'm like, no, that person isn't there. Turns out that person was there. Really, really unique, really fun. Dave had a good finish. And, you know, Rick and Morty's on a break, but we've talked about our love for Rick and Morty and how that keeps going. Want to wrap it up. One more fun one on Netflix, The Chair. Google The Chair and see if you guys, that's kind of up your alley. And if you are, reach out to me and we can kind of have like a discourse about the Sandra Oh show that stars Duplass. Remember Duplass from The League?
Of course.
His brother, Jay Duplass.
The Duplass brothers are very, very good directors and writers. Well,
this is Jay's actorial debut, his brother. And he's really he's really good. Is he in stuff?
He's been in things.
Okay. I thought I read this is his first. Maybe this is his first thing. I don't know what it is.
I'm almost positive that he's
active, he's definitely acted, because I'm looking at it right acted. Now.
Yeah.
He's been in 26 things, but I don't know. Maybe it's his first in a while. Probably. Or his first headlining appearance, because everything else looks like he's just kind of like made appearances in things. He was in that Search Party show that gets a lot of praise, but this is his first starring role in maybe a production that he didn't put together. Maybe that's what it is. He's just acting and he's not involved on the other side, but it's pretty good. It's written by Amanda Peet from, what's his name? From Brockmire, if you ever watched that.
No, I didn't.
She was the girl in Brockmire. She was also in... couple other big things, but nonetheless, just some things to talk about, some shows going on and just a little happening around the Peakyverse. Not much, you know, I'm trying to scounge to see if there's anything else that I had written down to talk about with Peaky. There is a show with Aidan Gillen and Emmett J. Scanlon. We got to give a shout out to our guy, Emmett J. Scanlon, called Kin, coming soon on AMC+. But I don't have any interest in buying another streaming service. But that's where Gangs of London is, AMC+. We may have to do that for season two. Nonetheless, another great episode, Josh. Thanks so much for jumping on. As we did get one mention of The Lawyer from Josh, so that's one drink for all you Peaky fans listening at home. We'll tune in with you guys soon, try to give you any sources that we can get from across the pond on when we may expect season 6. He's Josh, I'm Daniel. We binge, so you don't have to.